Now, your host, Michael Cohen, with the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
We're back. Michael Cohen with producer Andre Holgate. Thanks for joining us. 6:34 on a Wednesday evening in Lansing. Well, we could be getting that monumental ruling from the Supreme Court on the Affordable Care Act in about a week or so. And while some say it's hard to tell what the court will do, one Michigan State University professor says that when it comes to the individual mandate, it could possibly be a 9-0 vote striking it down. To talk about why, I'm joined by Harry Prelstad. He's a MSU medical sociologist. Harry, thank you for joining us on WILS this evening.
My pleasure.
Now, as a medical sociologist, how would you compare the general medical insurance structure and the coverage that Americans have available to them compared to other developed countries?
Well, basically, most other developed countries either have national health insurance, as Germany and France or Japan do, or they have a national health service, which is what Great Britain has. And so basically almost everybody in those countries are covered as compared to the United States, where we have between 45 and 50 million people who are not covered.
So tell me, what is your overall opinion of the Affordable Care Act? Do you support the idea of mandating insurance to allow for this wider medical insurance coverage for Americans?
Yes, as an individual and somebody who understands the theory of insurance, I believe that the more people who are insured, the cheaper it gets for everybody. We have on the state level requirements that everybody who owns and drives an automobile is required to have insurance. Of course, those who don't own automobiles are not required to buy it. Many countries, Germany and others, do have mandates. So I think it theoretically it should work, but it's clear that a majority of the American people, including a majority of Democrats and a majority of Republicans, are against the mandate.
No, tell me, on what grounds then do you see the Supreme Court striking down the individual mandate?
Well, there's a couple of things. First of all, there are two appellate decisions out of Richmond, Virginia, and Atlanta, where the appellate court struck down the mandate, but did not strike down the rest of the law. The Supreme Court basically has to make a decision on whether it's constitutional to require somebody to purchase a particular product like insurance. There have been some arguments that the infamous spinach argument that the federal government can't force everybody to buy or eat spinach. Perhaps the more reasonable thing is that, in my opinion, if there had been a government mandate or there had been a single payer like for Medicare, which apparently still is constitutional, then the mandate might have held because everybody, obviously over 65 in the United States, and almost everybody is paid into Medicare, they have to sign up for 65 or face a penalty. So it could be something like that, but that's not the way the law was written. So I think that there will be at least five or six who will oppose the mandate, and if the so-called liberal justices think that it would have been constitutional had there been a government option or a single payer, then I can see under that circumstance that even all nine of them could agree that the mandate is unconstitutional.
Now, I mean, aren't there all kinds of government mandates? I mean, aren't you mandated to sign up for potential military service if there's a draft? Or aren't you mandated to pay taxes, these kinds of things?
Yes.
So, in a sense, I mean, couldn't that stand as a rationale for mandating health insurance also?
Well, to some extent, for example, the military draft is not involved in interstate commerce. And part of the law or the argument is that health insurance is part of interstate commerce, and that allows Congress to regulate it. Clearly, the draft is not involved with interstate commerce. It has to do with the defense of the nation.
I'm talking to Harry Prelstad. He's an MSU medical sociologist. So you're predicting then that the court will keep the rest of President Obama's health care law intact, although how effective will it be without the mandate?
Well, if the rest of the law is intact, there is a provision for state health insurance exchanges. And Massachusetts has one on the more liberal side, and the state of Utah set up their own state health insurance exchange, and Utah is a rather conservative state. So the states are required to set up these health insurance exchanges to help people buy insurance. They would work basically like when you go online and try to get a hotel room, or you try to find an airfare on Expedia or one of those other kinds of programs. There are lists of insurances and what the requirements are, and then you have an idea of what's out there in the market that you can buy. So that would still be there. There's a deadline that states have to put in a preliminary plan by the end of November of this year. States like Michigan have decided up to this point not to do anything pending the Supreme Court decision. But if the rest of the law is upheld, the rest of the act is upheld, then the states will have to move to have these health insurance exchanges, and that could encourage more people to buy health insurance and make it cheaper for them.
I see. But, I mean, ultimately, it sounds like the impact would be fairly minimal. It's essentially a website that advertises or allows people to find insurance options right there in one spot. But it certainly doesn't, on its own face, expand insurance coverage in any dramatic way, right?
Right, right.
So ultimately, what you see is a law that has these health exchanges out there, no mandate, and in terms of insurance coverage, then no major change in the U.S.?
Well, I think that it will take a couple of years. When Massachusetts put in there, and it was mandated in Massachusetts, they were overwhelmed by the pent-up demand for it, and then they were under-budgeted in terms of how much it would cost. It took them about 2 years to really straighten the whole system out. This might be a more gradual, incremental way of getting more people on insurance, and it can be, it could be beneficial in the long run.
Do you see this attempt by the Obama administration as maybe one of the final attempts to have anything like universal coverage in the U.S.?
Well, it's quite possible that for the next 20 or 30 years it could be that way. These kinds of things come. Medicare was in 1965. Before that, there were some other things earlier in the early 1900s in the Progressive Era. So it's like once in a generation or generation and a half these kind of things happen. So I think that this will sort of be on the side in terms of trying for single payer or something else for at least the next 20 or 30 years.
And as a medical sociologist, is a society better off from your studies having the type of coverage that we have and the structure that we have, both financially and medically, as compared to our European counterparts?
Actually, no. We know that infant mortality, length of life, and several other measures of health and well-being are much better in Europe and in Japan than they are in the United States.
What do you think, though, is behind, then, the resistance we have to that structure? Do you think there is something about American society and our structure of governance that does not agree with this kind of a universal and societal coverage?
Well, I think there's two things. One is that a lot of Europe believes in solidarity with a lot of people. So on the one hand, of course, you had the socialist and for a time communist regimes in Central and Eastern Europe that encouraged solidarity. On the other hand, the Catholic Church also believes in solidarity, supporting the poor, giving them education, giving them health care, and so on. America, as a basically Protestant individualist society, doesn't have those kind, either one of the socialist political ideology or very strong Catholic support for this kind of solidarity. So I don't think it's the structure of the government. I think it's more of a cultural sort of view where America is very individualized, and we believe we should more or less take care of our own, and we're not responsible for our brothers.
And what about those that look at the European financial crisis now and say, you know, this is indicative of a society that gives too much, doesn't really find ways to fully cover, but it overextends itself, providing this kind of nanny care to an entire population, and now they're potentially going to pay a huge price for it?
Well, some of that has to do with health care. Some of that has to do with pensions, how generous pensions are. In Greece, apparently, the pensions were very, very generous. We saw what happened in Wisconsin last year, where, again, people were complaining about the pensions for public workers and their health care benefits and so on, which were much better than most people in the private sector could get. So that some of that has to do with the pension plans and health care in Europe, but a lot, some of it has to do with the way the economies are run and the ability of the European banks to coordinate inflation across the countries.
Now, this decision then finally that's going to probably be ruled on in about a week or so, if the court does in fact back the individual mandate, is that just going to be a monumental shift in our country?
If they keep the mandate and say it's constitutional?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, I think it'll be a major shift, and it will certainly ignite a political maelstrom or become a top campaign issue in the election, because I think a lot of Republicans and some independents will vociferously then campaign and say, you know, vote for us and we'll repeal the mandate.
Harry Perlstadt, MSU medical sociologist, a professor at Michigan State University. Harry, thank you very much for joining us on WILS this evening.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Now, when we come back, we're going to talk about millennials, this new generation of kids that are struggling at the moment. Will they continue to struggle? And what will their future mean for the future of America? That is next. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.